ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER101 from the American College of Emergency Physicians. We have been talking about the Boston Marathon bombings, the tragedy that was in the news continuously in the last week. And I want to welcome my next guest because we have learned a lot in the military as emergency physicians and in situations like this. So we are lucky enough to have an emergency physician who happens to be a colonel in the military, Colonel Bob Gerhart. He is the director of pre-hospital and emergency care research program and the chief medical officer of tactical combat casualty care, a research task area in the United States Army Institute of Surgical Research. He's also a clinical associate professor of emergency medicine at University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio and the adjunct associate professor of military and emergency medicine at the Uniformed Services University of Health Sciences. So welcome, Colonel Earhart. Dr. Earhart, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate the intro. I also occasionally empty the trash can.
Well, that's good. And a humble man also. But really, this is, you know what's interesting to me? I once saw a statistic that said something like, and I don't know how they decided this, but during the Revolutionary War, 42% of the soldiers died in battle. In World War II, it was down to 30%. And in the past wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, 90% of our injured soldiers survived. Now, there's a lot of devastating injuries that we're seeing, but that they're surviving. And those are because of advances in military medicine and emergency medicine. Our specialty was sort of born out of battlefield medicine. Isn't that true?
Yes, ma'am. That's certainly a very effectively put approach. We could spend days and weeks discussing the details, but there has been a steady march of progress. To be fair about it, a lot of that came from preventive medicine. A significant number of people that would die on the battlefield back in the days of the Revolutionary War actually died as a result of illness and of malnutrition. Of those who were actually wounded in combat, which was also a significant number of people, a lot of those folks died almost immediately. However, the majority of them died as a chronic effect of infection or wounds or other things you couldn't do much about. In the intervening period, we've seen a tremendous amount of advance. I'll say as an aside, it's kind of ironic and kind of unfortunate, but it's making lemonade out of lemons that when we have conflicts, that is sometimes one of the most effective accelerants for learning about medicine, trauma care, and in fact, you're right, our specialty essentially came out of that.
Wow. And besides that, it's also... it's also generated a new form of medicine called regenerative medicine because of what we've been seeing in our most recent wars. This is going to benefit the newest victims that lost a lot of limbs in Boston, too. Isn't that true? What exactly, tell everybody what exactly this regenerative medicine medical research that I'm sure you're involved in, too, will help people from Boston.
Yes, ma'am. It's a very exciting field. To a large extent, some of the newer innovations are just kind of getting off the ground, but there are components to it that have been around for a long time. And you kind of hit the nail right on the head. Even though we are currently standing in the year 2013, last time I looked, you can go back and see episodes throughout our history where extremity loss has been epidemic. The Civil War comes to mind, as many right. people will recall from reading or from movies. You know, one of the more common ways of treating a penetrating extremity injury that involved the bone was an amputation. And although that sounds rather brutal on the surface, if you think about it, they did this because of experience. They found that people who had those injuries who didn't have an amputation almost universally died of infection. Now, of course, and that illustrates the fact that we have done so many things that are now preserving the lives of people, but people with catastrophic injuries who might have in the past not survived, we now see a big need to be able to continue to support these people past the acute episode, you know, where we save their life, we stabilize them, and we get them into a steady state as best we can. So offshoots of that, we've certainly made a tremendous amount of progress in the development of prosthetics. You may have seen, I'm sure you have, they're ubiquitous on the news. We have folks now who are double lower extremity amputees who are fitted with specific types of prosthetics who are now walking and running. These are, you know, not easily done. They are expensive at this point, but that will make its way into the mainstream. But as you alluded to, the regenerative thing is the most exciting part. Although, again, we're relatively early in the game, we're talking about developing biological frameworks either in the body or grown outside of the body or developed and then placed in. And so you're talking about the regeneration of skin, of muscle tissue, eventually, and perhaps the most exciting would be neurological tissue. Now, in a more immediate sense, the ability to reattach limbs with transplants have been pioneered, which kind of would be a great segue, which we won't take. But it does remind me to mention that this is very much a two-way street. The military has had experiences that we've been able to share, but we gain a tremendous amount of knowledge and wisdom from the civil sector, and it really is a cooperative effort.
Yeah, so tell us also a little bit about specifically what you're involved in, your research, you know, in the military, and specifically what you do here stateside.
Yes, I'm very blessed, actually. I am responsible for the primary, for the clinical work that we do in research and clinical investigation that impacts out-of-hospital combat casualty care, what we would think of as emergency medical services, but on the battlefield. And it's perhaps one of the more exciting areas of military medical research right now, because so much progress has been made in prevention, and so much progress has been made in forward application of surgery and theater evacuation and even regenerative medicine, that the place now where we're going to have the biggest impact on saving additional lives on the battlefield is before you ever get to the hospital.
Wow. And I was going to say, and it's so interesting because, you know, the Korean War started those mobile surgical units, and now I read that that soldiers can actually, you know, get stabilized on the battlefield, and then they can be evacuated to hospitals, you know, in the area that are like full service hospitals, not those MASH, but units that were, you know, just doing the quick things to stabilize them. It's fascinating, huh?
Yes, ma'am, that's true. We do have the capability in the theater of operations, which is our way of saying Iraq or Afghanistan or, heaven forbid, a potential future battlefield. Although I will note that although they have full-range capability, our current strategy, if you will, is not to keep wounded folks within the theater area for an excessively long period, more than a few days. In the past, if I was, for example, a soldier in World War II and was significantly wounded but lived, I might have spent 2 or 3 months in a rehabilitation hospital in Europe, unless they thought I wasn't going to be able to return. Now, we try to limit that to no more than roughly 5 days, and our partners in the U.S., of course, play a big part in that. The critical care air transport teams that will fly patients who've been stabilized but are by no means, you know, fully stable from the theater into Germany and elsewhere are doing miraculous work also. But, yeah, it's a continuum. It starts out forward, and it makes its way all the way back home.
Really, and it's amazing, these things that the military are taking the lead on with tissue-engineered tissues, skin you talked about, and muscle, and then just even prostheses. We really owe a debt of gratitude to our soldiers who not only fight for our freedom, but for military doctors like yourself, Colonel Gerhardt, who are sort of doing these groundbreaking, life-saving advances on the battlefield and bringing them home so that they can benefit victims like the Boston Marathon victims that we just saw. So thank you, sir, for your service.